Good morning. I get the blessing of sharing God's word with you all today, and may we be blessed by it. It's interesting this day and age, we see a lot of things taken where God's word is corrupted, and it's changed, and it's given new meaning, and those are things that we have to deal with each and every day, but we as Christians must stand for the truth. Is that right? We must be those who know the word so we can stand on it. And this morning, we're going to be talking about the true meaning and reason for God's rainbow. Because this is something that has been laid on my heart for months now that I need to share. And this is the day. So let us go ahead and read from God's word. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. I'm going to do a lot of quick through areas of that. So I might speak a little Jersey talk. I'll be a little faster. And if I do that, you can do this if I'm going too quick. And I'd be glad to do that. But it ends with a promise, the covenant promise of God, in Genesis chapter 9, 6, or rather 8 through 17. And let us stand in honor of God's word as I read it this morning. Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "Understand that I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, birds, livestock, and all the wildlife of the earth that are with you, all the animals of the earth that come out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again will every creature be wiped out by flood waters. There will never again be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all future generations." Verse 13, "I have placed my bow, my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Wherever I form clouds over the earth and a bow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me, you, and all the living creatures. Water will never again become a flood to destroy every creature. The bow will be in the clouds, and I will look at it and remember the permanent covenant between God and all the living creatures on earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and every creature on earth." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning saying thank you for another opportunity to break open the word together to study it. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us as a church, but also corporatively and also individually. We ask you, Lord, to help us to see the message, the true message of the rainbow, to be reminded that it was a covenant promise and that all the things that are connected with it. We love you, Lord, and we praise you and thank you for your word that we may study this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this morning, my goal and purpose is to honor God's word by sharing the true meaning and reason for God's rainbow. We live in a day, no doubt, as it was from the beginning, where humankind redefines God's word. They take God's word and they change it and make it things that are comfortable to them or whatever. People hear what God says and then make God's word say something it never had any intention of saying or symbolizing. Take the Garden of Eden, where God said in chapters 2 and 3, and by the way, we will be camping out in Genesis this morning, so it'll be easy for you to keep track. In Genesis chapter 2, 15 through 17, we read this. "The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden and worked it and watched over it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" And then we go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and it says this. And this is where things start to change. "Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die.' 'Oh, no,' Satan says, You will certainly not die. The serpent said to the woman, in fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at with the eyes, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. The eyes of both of them were open, and catch this, they knew that they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves to cover their sin. And then in verse 8 it says, then the man and his wife, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And what did they do? They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Why did they hide? Why did they hide? Because they knew they sinned. Their eyes were open to evil. They recognized evil and good now. And all of a sudden, they realized they're the ones who started. They knew. But now they realize they screwed up badly. And it affects everyone, even us today. Notice, Satan planted doubt in the minds of both Adam and Eve. Doubt was where it all started, in the minds of them. He suggested they were missing out on something if they wouldn't go against God's clear word. And today, do we not see the same thing happening? Doesn't Satan do the same thing? He operates the same way. His plan did not change because he has been so successful from beginning, and we now know this because our world is all messed up today. Still, the original sin stays with us today. We disobey God's word in the garden, and we do today. We continue to do it. Now, I was thinking about this. It's interesting because this has been months ago where I planned to share this because I was told I was going to preach this Sunday, but I never made any connections that two events that just went by. This is the month, June, they call it Pride Month now, and 4th of July just passed. And I got thinking about this. Think about this. We have our 4th of July, which represents the day set aside to remember we as a country became our own, independent of Great Britain. And we remember the documents which it stands, the Declaration of Independence. And on July 4th of 1776, we get excited about it. We have fireworks, the American flags everywhere. Our country's red, white, and blue pride is everywhere. And there's joy in our hearts about this time of year, the fireworks, the spectacular things that we see to remember the 4th of July. Now, how outraged would our country be if the red, white, and blue, our nation's flag, was hijacked and wrapped around people's bodies and flown in parades and other places and told it now means sexual inclusion and all sorts everything is void of its original meaning. How would that make us feel? And told the flag means to accept the ungodly practices of humankind as acceptable and stripped of our nation's identity and original intent. If all that happened with the American flag, how would us as a nation respond? Would we not get upset? We may say, make a new flag that isn't offensive to the heart of American people, that is different and not associated with what the flag's original intent was. Would we maybe say, make a new flag because it's offensive to the heart of American people, make a flag of something else that is not hijacking the true meaning of original flag? Well, this is what is happening with God's word and his promise. Think about it. Satan is up to his old tricks in confusing us and redefining what God has said in his holy word. We just finished what our present president, many businesses and groups call Pride Month. It is what it is, but in a country that is free. But the hijacking of God's symbol to represent something so foreign to God's word and promise is evil at its core. I don't know who started the idea of taking God's rainbow and hijacking it to mean something contrary to God's word, but I can tell you who planted the idea in her mind. No other than the deceiver, the evil one, Satan. It is not of God to redefine what God has already stated in his holy word. God's word trumps everything. The rainbow is not about a new lifestyle to accept that God clearly denies as good, but about a promise not to destroy the earth like he did with the flood. Again, because as he said before, he had an ark built and flooded the earth, cleaning it of all wickedness. Remember, Genesis 6:5 says this, when the Lord saw the human wickedness was widespread on the earth and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time. That's what brought the flood. It's sin that brought the flood. And then in verse 6 through 8, where thank God by grace, Noah, however, found favor with the Lord, or none of us would be here today. We all would have been taken away with the flood that came across the earth. So that's where we are today, trying to reestablish what God's meaning and reason for the rainbow truly is. And we're going to highlight before to after Noah's events, and I will be mostly highlighting for time's sake. So this is where we are this morning. Let us go to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, for the reason for the flood. In Genesis 6, 5 through 8, it reads like this. When the Lord saw the human wickedness was widespread on the earth, and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was deeply grieved. Then the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I created off the face of the earth, together with the animals, the creatures that crawl, the birds of the sky, for I regret that I made them. Noah, however, found favor with the Lord's friends, brothers, sisters. We are reminded that humankind was sinning against God, and we know we today do too, do we not? We do too today. We read the Ten Commandments. We say, I break those all the time. Do we not? I mean, think about it. Do you not? I mean, if I was to take the Romans chapter 1 and look at that, you would say, oh, my land, this is going on in our culture all the time. God Almighty calls sin and the same kind that would have brought on the flooding of the earth. Just to break one of God's clear 10, we should see all are called sinners. We all have probably not kept our Sunday holy unto the Lord, have we? Have we kept our Sundays holy unto the Lord? I mean, that's a commandment, the fourth commandment. Respecting and honoring our parents, committing adultery with the eyes even, as we see in Matthew. Stole something by taking without asking. How many of you have a pen from the bank without asking for it? I know I do. And I love that pen. And it's not going back. But I have before felt bad about taking a pen, come back and put it back in there when I return. I'm glad we don't have this branch around us anymore, so I get to keep it. But have you ever wanted something that somebody else hasn't just consumed you? Have you ever had the smell of great cookies cooked in a house? Don't you love it? And it just fills the house in the lay there, and mom says, or grandma says, they say, or dad, whoever cooks the cookies, and says, do you not eat any of those cookies? We're saving that for something else. And you leave the room, and the kid goes, I've done that. I know none of you probably done it, but I did it. I know I did it, and it still stays with me. My aunt, she did that, and she made them. She could have one cookie. Well, four or five later, yeah, those were good cookies. And I'll never forget them. I really won't. Did you ever read the scriptures on the accepted, the ones, the sins that we can accept? Have you? Neither have I. They're not in the Bible. The Bible, matter of fact, says in James chapter 2, 11, if you're guilty of one sin, basically you're guilty of the whole law of God. This is how it reads. It reads in James chapter 2, 10 and 11, for whoever keeps the entire law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you are a lawbreaker. See, if you just break one sin, if you ate just one cookie, if you just did one thing that is against the law of God, you're guilty before God. But we know we've done more than one sin. We all stand guilty. So do we see God's word, his scripture, is broken all around us, and even sometimes in our own lives, we break the law of God. Sin has infiltrated the world and even accepted, even applauded when others do them too. We should never applaud sin. Oh, great sin. That is so good. No, it's so bad. We should never applaud. We never should give our stamp of approval on sin. We stand against it. That's what happened in Noah's day. But was Noah's day much different from our day today? Is it much different? Read in Genesis chapter 6, 11 through 14 with me. God tells him, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with wickedness. And God saw how corrupt the earth was. From every creature had corrupted its way on earth. Verse 13 then says, then God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I am going to destroy them along with the earth. And then in verse 14, the very beginning, it says, make yourself an ark. And we're not going to get into the details of the ark because that would take a long time. So Noah built an ark according to God's instruction. During the time, Noah also preached to the people, but they obviously did not listen and thought Noah is a fool for building the ark on dry land. 2 Peter 2:5 tells us that Noah was a preacher. It says this in 2 Peter 2:5, God protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. Then God brought the flood of the world of the ungodly. So we see Noah here. We see Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So I assume he preached to those people. They denied the message of salvation, the message of judgment of water. Today the same. People don't want to hear what God has to say, but instead, they are attracted to the voice of man and woman. They deny God and his word. Is the world much different today from Noah's day? Again, reading from scriptures in chapter 7, moving on. In chapter 7, 1 says, and this is after the ark was finished being built. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. In Genesis 7, 5 and 6 says, and Noah did everything that the Lord commanded him. Noah was, catch this, 600 years old when the flood came and the waters covered the earth. 600 years old. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 9, the end part of 9, moving on to 10, and this took all the animals. They came to Noah and entered the ark just as God had commanded him. 7 days later, the floodwaters came on the earth. Catch that. 7 days later, the floodwaters came on the earth. I want you to catch God's grace here because it's really cool if you've never noticed this in God's word here before. We read in 6:3 about the wickedness, their days will be 120 years. And it seems that if the ark was started being built at this time, it took about 120 years to build the ark. That's a long time. And some people say, well, how did they get all those animals? First of all, God sent those animals. And the other thing is, they had lots of time to walk over to the ark and get there. Those assigned to that duty by God's voice. See, God's in control of all things. God's the one who sent the animals. God's the one who told Noah and his family to build the ark and then enter it, and they did it faithfully. So now the earth was corrupt. Whoops. Verse 7, lost my place. It took a bunch of years anyway to build it, and the people had many years to repent, many years for the animals from all over the earth to walk to the ark. But I want you to notice something amazing in verse 9. Noah entered the ark. Everything is complete, right? The ark is done. God tells them to go in the ark because everything is completed. Everything is done except the waters to come. and for them to be closed into the ark safely. Now notice God's grace. God waits 7 more days, first of all. Did you notice that in the scripture? I mean, it's built. God tells them to go in there. The animals are all in there. 7 days go by. And you wonder what's going through Noah's head. Where's the waters? You know, day 2. Wow, they haven't started yet. 3, 4. You know, I know God's going to do it, but wow, how long has it made us? Day 6, day 7, and the waters came, right? But the door is still wide open. The door is still wide open, waiting for the flood. Of course, if you had kept that door open, their door would have got full of water. They would have been flooded too. So God waits 7 more days with the door open, but no one else comes. All the work is done. No one's family accomplished God's plan, but no one outside the ark comes. Was God given an opportunity for others for 7 days? Think about that, the grace of God. And they wouldn't even have to do any of the building or anything. They could have kind of been freeloaders and say, hey, let me join in. All the work is done and I'm ready. True? I mean, that situation that I read from Scripture. But then we see something that happens. When God gave an opportunity for others for 7 days, which is, of course, we know from the Bible, a perfect number. After 7 days, we see in verse 16, then the Lord shut him in. God's who closed the door. It seemed Noah never questioned who would close the door. You know, it wasn't even in the instructions on how to build it. It's just not there. Because God, I wonder if they ever wondered over all those years, you know, how are we going to close this door? Just keep building it. God's got a plan. He's going to accomplish what he said he's going to do. So let us pause and think about these things, about salvation for a minute. Talk about salvation today. We read in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. God proves his own love for us while we are what? Yet sinners. Just as in Noah's day, they were sinners too, but God closed them in. Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, by the blood of Christ, we are declared righteous before God as if we've never sinned, even though we know we're still sinners. Will we be saved through him from the wrath? There's a real wrath still coming. One wrath happened in Noah's day, and people did not take it serious. There's a wrath, a day coming in the future when our Lord's going to return, and the saints will be overjoyed receiving the Lord with joy and him receiving us. But the world, they will feel the doom for rejecting God as they did in the flood. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. See, as Noah was secured by the hand of God, we too can be secured from our sin by the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Today, we can be saved and secure. He hasn't forgotten us, but he did die for us by taking the wrath of God the Father in our stead. The Bible tells us that those who truly trust in the death and resurrection of Christ alone are saved and will receive no condemnation. Matter of fact, it's so clear in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, just like those who were in the ark. One of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible is John 5:24. And if you highlight your Bibles, man, this is a good one. John 5:24 says, truly, truly, I tell you, if anyone hears my word and believes in him who sent me, catch this, has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. If you're in Christ, we rejoice in knowing this. I prayed during this week knowing that the message would be preached on this, and it's a hard hitting if you think about it, how God wants us to know that our sin will be judged. But there, by the grace of God, we can have freedom from our sin and not get washed away with the world in their sin. We are sinners too, but we need that forgiveness. But you know, peep outside the ark who blew off the message of God for their souls. Once it started, I can't imagine what it was like. I mean, I read in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 9, and it says this about Noah's day, about what was going on in the people's minds during the time right before the water started. This is what we read in Matthew 24, 37 through 39, and I really want you to catch this. As the days of Noah were, so is the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were getting married, and they were giving into marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. So this is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. It'll come when we expect it. The people had warnings, and they didn't change. They didn't seek God. They didn't repent. They didn't see any threat from God until the ark's door amazingly shut by God, and the ark was sitting on dry land, and all of a sudden, the raindrops started, and everyone started looking up to heaven and saying, "What is this?" And the rain kept coming, and the water raised and took them all away in God's judgment. And we know this happened for 40 days and 40 nights until everything was covered with water. And all the life that had breath in them died by the water. And we know that it was over a year because they finally left the ark. Noah was 600 years old when he started. We know that. 601 when they walked onto dry land. And you can check this out in verses 7 and 11 and then compare it to 8, 13, and 14. Doing the math, it was 1 year and 10 days from start walking in to coming out of the ark. That's amazing. A year goes by. Finally, in chapter 8, starting at verse 16, God tells Noah and his family to come out of the ark with all the animals. And immediately after this, we see Noah's building an altar to God in verse 20 and worshiping and making offerings to God. And then God says in verse 21, when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said to himself, "I will never again curse the ground because of human beings." And even, catch this, even though the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth onwards. Wow. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I will never again strike down every living creature as I have done. We do know by the flood never again will be destroyed, but by fire in the end times. Again, I cannot stress how important it is to see God's word is serious, and he will one day return to bring salvation for his people, but for those who don't repent to Jesus, a judgment still awaits you. The word is clear. And I'm not trying to be a downer, but I'm trying to be a realist who is concerned about you who don't believe and reject the word of God. I speak in love because I read and see God's message for all of us this morning. I want God's blessing on you, not God's judgment. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 13, it says this. Dear friends, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise as some understand delay. But praise God, it says, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will be burnt and dissolved. The earth and the works on it will be disclosed. Verse 11 says, all these things are to be dissolved in this way. It is clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct and godliness. Verse 12, as you wait for the day of God and hasten its coming, because of the day the heavens will be disclosed with fire and the elements will melt with heat. Verse 13, but based on the promise, we wait for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And what a day that will be. So we started this morning with my goal or purpose is to honor God's word by sharing the true meaning and reason of God's rainbow. It's God's rainbow. It's not man's rainbow. The rainbow is a covenant promise from God Almighty. That's what it is. A covenant is a binding formal agreement between two parties. It's kind of a treaty, a pact, a contract between two. And it's never to be broken. And God never, ever breaks a covenant. Men may break covenants as they do in marriage and many times through they make a vow before God and witnesses. But God can't break them because of his perfection and his holiness. We break covenants. God does not ever break covenants. In a rainbow covenant promise, we receive a symbol, a beautiful, colorful display. How many times do you say a rainbow and you look in the sky and it's like, who's around? I want them to see it too. Look, the rainbow. You know, we just get amazed at the beauty of the symbol of the rainbow that God put in the sky to remind him that one day there will be a judgment and people sin. But his gift of grace has been given to us in a covenant promise. So the covenant promise we receive in the symbol, the beautiful, colorful display that shows this promise is true and faithful. The symbol is to make us think of God, and his faithfulness is always present. It's a reminder that every time we see it in the sky, it tells us of a past time, like in verse 6:5, when the Lord saw that the human wickedness was widespread on the earth and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time. It's a reminder that we are still sinners before God's holiness, but by his grace, he holds back his full wrath, waiting for us to come to him for forgiveness and grace. The rainbow has nothing to do with being inclusive and learning to accept the sins that are contrary to God's word, but to remind us to come repenting to God for forgiveness and salvation. God's promise, his covenant promise, is beautiful as it's displayed in the rainbow. The rainbow reminds us that God once judged the world, and he will judge the world again, but in a different way. In Romans 1:32, it says, although they knew God's just sentence, that those who practice such things deserve to die, as in the flood by the hand of God, they not only do them, but applaud others who practice them. Sadly, in the world we live in. So what does this mean for us today, reflecting on God's beautiful rainbow and God's salvation? We love and reach our hands out to those who are drowning in their sins because we understand they may not understand the magnitude of what they are doing. As Adam and Eve were deceived by the tempter in the garden, they too are being deceived. We hate the sin, not so much the person, but the sin. And we want them to know the truth and warn them out of love. We may have some here who live a life as those condemned by their own sins, but there's good news. We have a God who loves and forgives. Amen? We have a God who loves and forgives. As Christians, we may need to repent of our sins too if we are rebelling against God's word too. And many of us do. I know I rebel at times and I have to get on my knees and say, God, I am sorry, I repent. Repentance is important in our lives. If we are rebelling against God, we need to run to the Lord and ask forgiveness and get our lives straight and ask for conviction by the Holy Spirit to help us to stay on track. It's at the cross that we find forgiveness. That's where we are set free. That's where we cross from death to life. And so this morning, as we contemplate what we just studied in God's holy word, let us prepare our hearts in invitation and opportunity to respond to God's word. Maybe this morning, maybe this is a day of salvation for you. Maybe this is a day that you be called to ministry. Maybe you want to be like Noah, sharing and sharing the message of righteousness. Maybe it's a day you want to join our church and be part of this God's church, not my church, God's church here in Richland, which invites you to join and be part of it. But we have to really think hard. Is this the day that we really understand that I am a sinner before a holy God and that God loved me so much that he died on the cross and paid that price for my sin so I could be set free from sin, death, and hell. Are you one of the saved ones? One of those who know that nothing at all can separate you from the love of God? At this time, I ask the worship team, please, to come and prepare us for music as we have our invitation. Have you heard the voice of God this morning? I would like to read one more passage from Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. And it reads like this. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be, what is it? Save. Praise the Lord for that. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? Let us go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll hear our song of invitation. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do love you, we do praise you, and thank you for another opportunity to study your word. And we pray, Lord, for us to reflect and to think about our culture and us and where we stand in it. Do we stand with your word, or do we stand against your word? And also, Lord, are we believers? Have we come before your throne of grace and received the salvation that only is through Christ Jesus our Lord? We pray, Lord, if you're convicting anyone this morning, that you give them the boldness to come forward and to receive your grace and to share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.